All right, welcome to the show. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Jeffrey Epstein, chemtrails, Ukraine, Second Amendment. Is President Trump alienating significant portions of his constituency? And there's been some flip-flopping and there's been some inaction. And joining us right now is Frank Banasek of the 1791 Society, and Tanner will take care of that, a very pro-Second Amendment group. And Frank, you're a big fan and supporter of President Trump, but my understanding is you and some of your people are not very happy with respect to the Second Amendment pursuit of the Trump administration.
Well, it's actually beyond just us, Tom. There's concern nationwide. If everybody recalls, during the campaign, the president repeatedly stated over and over again at every whistle-stop campaign speech that we are going to protect the Second Amendment. Well, we are now nearly 6 months into the term, and we are not seeing any action. And the action we're looking for is an enforcement action against states like New York and other states who are denying citizens their Second Amendment rights under the Constitution. There's a lot of precedence for this. We had a situation in the 50s and 60s during the Civil Rights Movement where there were all kinds of laws passed. You can't vote unless you take a test. You got to pay a poll tax. You can't come into this school. You can't come into this restaurant. You can't use this water fountain. These were laws passed in various states. And the Justice Department went after those states and put a stop to that nonsense. And we're looking for the same thing here to get our gun rights back.
Specifically, what would you like the Trump administration to do in New York State?
Well, we had three members of Congress, Representatives Stefanik, Tenney, and Langworthy, who wrote letters to the U.S. Attorney General, and they requested action against New York State for this denial of our rights here. And that was exactly 2 months ago. And so far, the Attorney General has not even replied to letters from members of Congress. And that is very concerning to us. This is not, it's not a really complicated situation. There needs to be a political and legal will to defend the rights of the people under the Constitution. We only have one Constitution in this country, but in 29 states, you can carry a concealed handgun without jumping through hoops and applying for permits and all kinds of rigmarole that they have passed, all these different laws. And then you come to New York State, and it's just one law after another. And it's a total infringement. So something has to be done about it. We can't go on like this.
And would you say, Frank, that under the 10th Amendment, this is an issue where the federal statutes and the Constitution would supersede any state law? Because it is specifically enumerated as a federal power, right? The Second Amendment and respect thereof?
Absolutely. And like I said, there's precedent on this in the southern states during the Civil Rights Movement. There's precedent on this going back to the Civil War era, the Reconstruction era. You know, it's not a complicated situation. We have been advised by attorneys that the actual legal work in instituting an action, you're probably looking at 20 hours of legal work, and the Justice Department has hundreds and hundreds of attorneys. They could do this. We're getting feedback. We have a lot of contacts. We have reliable informants in Washington. We're hearing that they have lost political will to do anything about this. And, you know, we're hearing, well, we're going to get to it. You know, the check's in the mail, one of those things, you know. And it's very concerning, and it's concerning across the country. We don't have 60 votes in the Senate to get any meaningful legislation through. We're certainly not going to get any help from the New York State Legislature or the judges in New York State who are literally owned. If you remember, former Governor Cuomo referred to them as my judges, and that's what we're facing in New York State. So that's a dead issue as far as anything in the courts or the legislature. So we have to go federal. The Supreme Court has been hot and cold. Here a few weeks back, there was a case, Snope, S-N-O-P-E, versus Maryland, on the so-called assault rifles ban bill. And there were conflicting decisions, multiple conflicting decisions in the lower federal courts. And, you know, that's where the Supreme Court comes in to mediate and rule on these conflicting decisions. So the case was referred for a cert writ back in the early fall of last year. And they distributed that case, which is a legal term for they passed it out to the Supreme Court justices, and they sit around and have coffee and talk about it and say, are we going to take this case or not? Well, they redistributed this case 16 times since last fall. And nobody can recall, it's a modern-day record, to over and over and over again reconsider the case. So there were a lot of cookies being munched on over this case. There was a lot of pressure on both sides. And ultimately, they refused to hear the case. And the entirely shocking part about it was Justice Kavanaugh came out and made a statement. He was one of the justices who voted not to hear it, and said, and I'm paraphrasing this, well, it's probably unconstitutional because these rifles in question are very, very popular. They're commonly used. There's over 20 million of them possessed. But we're going to hear it at some point, and we're probably going to find that it's unconstitutional. But we're not going to hear it right now. We're going to listen to it down the road sometime. So he basically came out and said, we're not going to do our job.
All right. Frank Panasuk is with us on the Trocare College WBEN live line on News Radio 930 WBEN. Frank is with the 1791 Society, a very pro-Second Amendment group, and they're growing a little bit frustrated with President Trump and Second Amendment issues and the lack of political will, in particular to make sure that the Democrat-controlled states are not denying firearms rights to the residents thereof. And Frank Panasuk is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. So since he spoke so heavily about the Second Amendment and his love of the Second Amendment, what has changed, Frank? Does it have anything to do with the failed assassination attempt just over a year ago?
Actually, we don't know exactly what changed here. We suspect, I mean, it would probably be human nature, you know, after he was missed by a millimeter or two. And that was caused, we recently had, six Secret Service agents suspended and taken off the job for dropping the ball on that. That was not a firearm issue. That was a dereliction of duty. They weren't paying attention. They weren't, how in the world can you get somebody at that close range on top of a roof when you have a former president and a current presidential leading candidate? How do you let somebody on top of a roof like that?
Yeah, that whole situation to me stinks to high heaven, but maybe we'll get to that later on. But is that the reason why there has been a lack of slamming it to the floor with the accelerator on gun rights for President Trump?
We suspect that it has something to do with it. And don't get me wrong, we love the president. We love what he's doing. You know, he's taken the bull by the horns and, you know, he's confronted this illegal alien situation. He's confronted multiple issues, but, we are really being victimized by New York State. And there are other states that are victimizing their residents too. New York is out of control. They have just passed one law after another. Now, They're even considering passing a law banning Glock pistols, which is one of the most, if not the most, popular pistol in the country. And they're, you know, just coming up with one thing after another. They want a 10-day waiting period to take delivery of a firearm. So if you want to buy a new deer rifle, you can put in for it, and then you got to wait 10 days after you do the background check to pick the gun up. The same thing. I mean, you could have a pistol permit and have 7 handguns on it, but you go in to buy a new one, and okay, you already possess 7 handguns on your permit, but you got to wait 10 days to get this other gun. And what is that accomplishing?
Only insanity, I would suspect. Frank Panasuk with the 1791 Society is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. So just so I'm on the same page and I understand exactly what you're saying here, you support President Trump, but you are disappointed that his administration has been dragging its collective feet on going after states like New York, where gun owners and gun rights have been under assault, no pun intended, for quite some time. You would like a situation in New York State where people are allowed to carry concealed without having to go through the permitting process, and you believe that the Trump administration could bring that situation about if they brought legal action against New York State under the auspices of the Second Amendment.
Exactly, and that's the only avenue we have to correct this situation. Like I said, the courts have been hot and cold on it. We don't have the votes in the Senate. New York State is certainly not going to reverse course. They're getting worse. And the only action that we can use to justify or take action against this nonsense is a legal action, an enforcement action by the Attorney General. She has not got a good Second Amendment record. She was very involved in Florida with these red flag laws. She touted them to people and so forth. And, you know, not answering, if you're the Attorney General of the United States and you get letters from 3 members of Congress, you know, they have to have dozens of secretaries. They have procedures for dealing with this. Not to answer these letters for over 2 months, that's inexcusable. You know, it's just not proper.
Well, she answers to somebody. I mean, obviously, there's a chain of command with cabinet members and people in the administration. Is it possible that the word has gone down from the president that, you know, these Second Amendment lunatics, forget about them. They're not a priority. And maybe the gun control people have it right. So let's not make any waves.
It could very well be. That we don't really know. We know he has cooled off on enforcing Second Amendment rights, and there is a nationwide group of people, Second Amendment advocates, who are very upset about this. It's not just New York State. It's in every state. You know, they came out and they voted. They supported him, and, you know, the promises over and over and over again. We've all heard them. We're going to protect the Second Amendment. It was in every speech that I heard him make, that I saw televised, that we were going to protect the Second Amendment. Well, we are 6 months into this administration now, and absolutely nothing is done, and our reliable sources state that there is nothing on the agenda. And that's what's really scaring us, because they have no intention to do anything. And we're looking at, you know, we feel this is a stalling tactic. We're 6 months into it. You know, you got the first of the year is going to be here before you know it. And what's going to be the next excuse? Right now, well, we're busy. We got a lot going on. After the first of the year, well, the midterms are coming up. We have to watch what we do. And there are a lot of people concerned about the turnout in the midterms, because a lot of people came out and voted for their Second Amendment rights, and they're not seeing any action. And there's a lot of concern about Second Amendment voters losing interest and not turning out for the midterm elections. And they really need to be observant of this and sit down and think about what they're doing.
Is there anything that can be done at the legislative level? Obviously, the presidency would be the executive level. Could something be introduced legislatively to bring this kind of relief for New York and other state gun owners to bring relief to them?
Without 60 votes in the Senate, there's nothing significant that can really be done. They just had the Hearing Protection Act, which involved the use of suppressors. A lot of people commonly refer to them as silencers, which they're really not a silencer. They're a suppressor. They lower the decibel level of gunshots. Most people that have been shooting for a long time, including yours truly, are wearing hearing aids because of hearing damage from gunfire, and this would go to help. A lot of European countries that have strict firearms regulations require the use of these suppressors for noise abatement, but we couldn't get this through Congress. They dropped the tax on them, but they didn't drop the registration scheme on it. And a lot of this stems from the 1930s gangster movies when, you know, they said, oh, we're going to put a silencer on this revolver and we're going to shoot somebody and nobody's going to know it. Well, that's all nonsense. And suppressors are widely used in other states. Of course, they're banned in New York State, but they couldn't get that through. You know, the reciprocity bill, are we going to see reciprocity? I don't know. As far as pistol permits being allowed in other states, I can tell you from personal experience, during the Bush II administration, they passed the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act in Congress, and President George W. Bush signed it. So that gave retired and active police officers authority to carry handguns in the United States and its possessions. And there were states, including New York, that fought that extensively. And in New York City, there was a Pennsylvania sworn officer. It became known that he was carrying a gun on him. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't get into any problem. But NYPD confronted him, and he showed them the law that he was carrying under federal authority. And they said, yeah, that's nice. Well, you're in New York City now. We make the laws around here. So they arrested him and threw him in Rikers Island. And he was there for several days before he got an attorney. He got bailed out. That's when we had the bail laws still. And he went to court, and they went and showed the judge the law and everything. And the judge dismissed the case. And he filed a lawsuit, and he got a $150,000 settlement from New York City because he was carrying legally under federal authority. Does NYPD do? They go and arrest another guy a couple months later, and he goes through the same thing, gets jailed, goes into court.
Frank, I've got a break. I've got to end this, but I want to thank you very much for joining us to explain the Second Amendment crowd and its disenchantment on this issue anyway with President Trump, if I'm using the correct word. Thank you very much. And people who want to find out more about the 1791 Society just can find it on Facebook under, oddly enough, 1791 Society. Frank Panasuk on the Trocare College WBEN Live Line. Coming up on 328 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't go anywhere. We'll follow up on that momentarily after news with Tom Puckett on a very hot, hot midweek hump day. Yes, from Dumb and Dumber. Thank you. My kind of movie. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Question, is President Trump, I'm going to presume that many of you, possibly most of you, are MAGA voters and in favor of President Trump, but I'm wondering, is he turning you off? Are you scratching your head thinking, my goodness, he said one thing, but he's doing something else? And let me just give you some examples. The Second Amendment. We spoke with Frank Panasuk in the first part of the program today from the 1791 Society, and And not only is the Attorney General, who operates under the president, not only has she not responded to some congressional letters asking, hey, what's up with the Second Amendment? Because the people in New York State could really use some relief here and an action by the federal government to make New York State follow, of all things, the United States Constitution. And 2 months, the Attorney General has not gotten back with her, and there are no initiatives at the executive level regarding the Second Amendment. And this is a guy who took great pains, as Frank said, pretty much every speech on the campaign trail to argue that he, in fact, was the greatest friend the Second Amendment has ever had. Well, if that's true, where is the action? Has he changed his mind? Did the assassination attempt in Butler and the other one in Florida, did they do something to alter the fundamental worldview of the president on firearms? I don't know. I mean, I suppose it wouldn't be uncommon, but on the other hand, he did make a lot of statements about the Second Amendment after Butler, Pennsylvania. So I don't know if that is an explanation or if it isn't. Was he just blowing smoke to get votes? Imagine that, a politician. Was he blowing smoke to get votes from the Second Amendment crowd? And the Second Amendment crowd is pretty big, and I know it's a huge part of the MAGA movement. People who are MAGA typically are going to be firearms owners. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But there are other things as well, and brought this up a little bit earlier, but the Jeffrey Epstein case, and I think you know about Jeffrey Epstein, right? The financier with a $500 million fortune who kind of came upon the high society, Upper East Side, New York City social scene with a big splash in the late 90s, shall we say, and engaged reportedly in some very disgusting acts, and Ghislaine Maxwell operated as his procurer of young women in some cases. And there are a lot of people who believe, I mean, the reason this is a big deal for a lot of people, if you don't know, is that there are a lot of people who have been part of MAGA who have been of the very strong belief that there is a worldwide ring of child sex traffickers, and that this worldwide ring is basically in the hands of the worldwide elite. And they believe that the Epstein files would reveal this and confirm their darkest suspicions. Now, the Attorney General, very early on in the administration, did say that the file was on her desk. That's a little bit, that leaves a little room for interpretation, because people want to see the client list. But basically, what's happened lately is the president, and Kash Patel also talked about the Epstein files way back when, at the beginning of the administration of the FBI. And what's happened here over the past several days is, well, week or so, is that President Trump is basically poo-pooing the whole idea of Jeffrey Epstein's information being released. And this has some people very, very upset, because they voted for the president, President Trump, because they thought he would bring transparency. They thought that he would expose the deep state and its people in the elite realms of our temporal world. And they're not very happy, because they think that, hey, is President Trump covering up something here with the Epstein files? Is there something in there he doesn't want us to see? After all, way back when, before he was President Trump, he did say Jeffrey Epstein was a terrific guy and used to hang out with him at all kinds of upper crust New York City cocktail parties and the like. No indication that he ever did anything else in the presence of Jeffrey Epstein. But let me just share with you a quote from yesterday. And this is President Trump on the Jeffrey Epstein situation. And basically, what he's saying here is, if you're interested in the Jeffrey Epstein files, there's something wrong with you. You must be some kind of a sick person. Let's let that rip, Tanner.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
I don't understand it. Why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think, really, only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say, let them have it.
See, that was a very, very interesting response to that question, because there is a school of thought out there that the Democrats put landmines in the Epstein documents and in the Epstein files, hoping that President Trump was going to step onto those landmines if he were to release the information. And personally, I don't want to know, and I certainly don't want to see the sordid details of Jeffrey Epstein's sexual crimes. I don't need to see that, but I would like to know if there is evidence of a worldwide child sex trafficking conspiracy in which the elites of this world, the financial elites, the entertainment elites, the political elites, have been taking part for many, many years. That I would like to know. I think a lot of other people would like to know. And I will say that I think that the best explanation in defense of the president is he is doubting the veracity of what is in those files. And he doesn't want to fall into the trap laid in his way by the people who were in office and high position before his second administration. And that's the only logical explanation I can think of. I really would like not to believe that he's perpetuating a cover-up. This is the guy who released, for what they're worth, the JFK files and the other files regarding the assassinations of the 1960s. But it is something that I will tell you that there are, for as many people that I've talked to and to whom I've listened, who have said that he should continue holding back on the Epstein information because the Democrats laid a trap for him and they want him to pursue it. That's why the Democrats have been also very, very animated in calling for the release of the Epstein documents, as has the Republican Speaker of the House. He's been very adamant in calling for the release of those documents. Maybe, just maybe, President Trump and his administration, maybe they smell a rat in those files. And that's about the best I can do. Is that true? Is it not true? I have no way of knowing. I didn't get the memo. I'm not in the loop. But is the Jeffrey Epstein thing important to you? I mean, Jeffrey Epstein in and of himself is not terribly important to me, but his connection to any worldwide elite child sex trafficking ring, easy for me to say, that is of great interest because, look, you know the names that have been brought up in this situation. You know what some of the alleged victims have had to say about what they experienced. I'm sure you've seen the video interview of one of the alleged victims outside Epstein's New York City mansion saying this place should be burned to the ground and then describing some of the horrible things that were done to her. It's not pretty. And as far as Jeffrey Epstein and his so-called suicide, I'm sorry, I'm still not buying that it was a suicide. I can't buy it. For all I know, Jeffrey Epstein is still alive and well and living in Argentina. I don't know that he's dead, much less that he committed suicide. I didn't see the body, and if I did, I probably wouldn't have touched it. Just saying. But the Jeffrey Epstein situation, are you some kind of a sicko if you want the story of Jeffrey Epstein? Because I don't think you are. I think you're a curious human being who cares about children, who wants to make sure that we don't have some worldwide global elite child sex trafficking ring going on that is still going on. I don't think that is something that is evil. I don't think that's something that is prurient. I don't think that you're a horrible person. It's not like you're saying, I need to see the videos. No, you're not saying that. You just want to know, has criminality taken place and is there an ongoing criminal conspiracy that needs to be fully prosecuted and the names have to be revealed so the mess can be cleaned up? And something else where the president has done an about-face, and this one I really don't understand except in one way, that is the Ukraine aid situation. And we'll get into that in a little bit, okay? But I'm just curious. I'm going to presume many of you are MAGA people. Is the president letting you down, or are you giving him the benefit of the doubt? Overall, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. We're only 6 months into the administration, so I have to give him the benefit of the doubt because any president who uses the F-bomb to reporters automatically earns my respect as the greatest president of all time. Here is Charles of Depew on WBEN. Hello, Charles.
Hello. I want to talk about the Epstein thing. It is a trap for Trump and the Republicans because if there was anything like the Democrats are saying about Trump over the last 4 years, they would have definitely used it. As much as they went after him, that would have been the first thing they went after.
Well, you know, what you're saying, sir, I think has some validity, because the Democrats are calling for the files to be released. Why would they be calling for the files to be released?
When most of them are already in there, because you got flight logs that show that they were going to Little St. John's.
So you are of the belief that the president is holding back on these files because this was a deliberate snare laid for him by the previous administration and its acolytes, and he's not going to take the bait. And moreover, the people who actually are in legitimate files can breathe easier because they think it's a done deal, but it's really not.
That's correct. I want to talk about Trump. He ain't losing me. He's not losing me. And in the past 6 months, he's done more than any other president that since I've been alive, and I'm 60. And the big, beautiful bill, the Senate pulled out the National Firearms Act of 1934 that was supposed to be pulled out, totally abolished in that bill, but they pulled it out. And that would have ended all this stuff on firearms, like dropped it way back, even allowing us to buy fully automatic machine guns, like we should be able to.
And you had your eyes on that Thompson submachine gun, I know.
There's
a time that you actually go to a hardware store and buy a Thompson submachine gun, 100-round drum and whatever. Charles, I mean, you say that you're still with President Trump. You're giving him not only the benefit of the doubt but support. One of the other things I wanted to bring up but I've not brought up yet is the situation with Ukraine. It seems like only yesterday Zelensky was being lectured by the president and J.D. Vance at the White House, and now we found out that the United States is going to send the Patriot missiles to Ukraine and keep the war going. And I thought MAGA people did not want the United States involved in any way in any foreign wars.
I'm not cool with that at all, especially with Ukraine. Because when the information comes out about Ukraine, like when that four-part documentary from Mel Gibson comes out about the child trafficking in Ukraine, all support for Ukraine will die. Done. And what about the millions of kids in this country who are being raped every day? How come nobody's concerned about that? Let's get into the real things in saving these little kids. Now, I cannot go on these missions because I will not be able to contain my temper. I will stomp a mud hole in these people or put a bullet in them.
Well, what kind of missions are you discussing, sir? I mean, you're not in law enforcement.
Well, there's missions out there where Tier 1 guys are actually going in and working with law enforcement and saving children. I could not do that because I would not have the self-control not to hurt these people doing this to these kids. I have grandkids. It tears me up every day. What happens to these little kids is terrible.
So just to kind of bring this full circle, what you're saying is that you support President Trump in not releasing the Epstein files, even though a lot of MAGA people want them released because they want any worldwide conspiracy to engage in child sex trafficking exposed in full. But you support this because you think there's bad information there. And when the president yesterday said words to the effect of verified information, good information, accurate information, he's all for that. But when he used the word to basically say that there's some bad stuff, some false stuff in there, my radar did go up. I'm not going to lie.
It does. It's like, okay, so why are they pushing for it, you know, when we know certain Democrats are in there? You know, nobody's pushing to have Diddy's list released. And that case was blown by Ms. Comey. And she also did the Epstein case. I believe personally that Epstein is in WITSAC right now and has been since 2019.
Hey, I said earlier, I'm not even sure Jeffrey Epstein is really dead, much less anything else about him. I know that's really far out there, but I don't know. I just know what I read. Supposedly he's dead, but what do I know? Thank you, Charles. I appreciate the call. Yep. Thank you. 803-0930. So the president has done and said some things lately that seem to, shall we say, go against his core, the MAGA people. We talked about the Second Amendment and the lack of any executive initiative on firearms, and his Attorney General, Pam Bondi, not even replying to three congresspeople who have written saying, hey, the people in the Democrat states really need some help with the Second Amendment, and crickets from Washington. The situation with Epstein. Basically, if you're interested in the Epstein case, you must be some kind of a sick individual. That's a paraphrase. And the Ukraine situation. What, now we're best buddies with Ukraine? Is this just a move to get Putin to the table? Which is how I'd like to phrase it if I was going to give the president the benefit of the doubt. 803-0930, and there's other stuff too. 803-0930, is the president losing you? Has he lost you? Are you starting to wonder about his sincerity and his veracity and his principles being rock solid? Or is everything part of a big chess match in this movie? All right, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. President Trump, is he losing you? First of all, we spoke with Frank Panasuk with the 1791 Society earlier today, and his group and many other pro-Second Amendment groups are not very thrilled with the lack of action by the president on advancing Second Amendment rights, particularly in states which are very hostile toward firearm ownership, such as New York. So that's one thing, and this is across the country, according to Frank Panasuk, and there's nothing in the pipeline. And the Attorney General has not responded to Congress people who have written to the Attorney General from New York State saying, hey, we need some federal assistance here. Can you bring an action against New York State? Because they're making firearms like they're violating the Constitution. This has got to stop. Also, the Epstein situation. You might have heard President Trump yesterday talking about the Epstein situation. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile who supposedly killed himself. By the way, John Gotti's kid, John Gotti Jr., was in the same unit, and he is very skeptical about the Epstein suicide, if you've ever seen him interviewed. But the audio from yesterday, Tanner, let it rip, the President of the United States.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
I don't understand it. Why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think, well, really only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say let them have it.
See, that's a very interesting answer because he's kind of poo-pooing those of us who want to know if there really is a worldwide global elite which is engaged in the trafficking sexually of children. But he also said credible information. Then he talked about the Steele dossier. And that kind of is an interesting way to phrase it because wonder if maybe the preceding administration put some traps in the Epstein files they were hoping President Trump would step into in his second term. And that is what this is all about, okay? That's one way to look at it, all right? Because it's kind of an about-face, really, when you think about it. The other thing is Ukraine, and there are other issues as well, but Ukraine, it seems like only a few months ago, and it was, Zelensky was being lectured in the White House about the need to have some gratitude, and the president did not want to be involved in never-ending foreign wars. And past few days, turns out that we're sending Patriot missiles to Ukraine. And many of the Trump supporters are not down with that. They don't want American involvement in any way. No boots on the ground, no involvement with missiles, guns, rounds, whatever. And I would like your thoughts on that as well. Is President Trump all mouth and no MAGA? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Jerry in Amherst. You are on. Hello.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Magnificent. A little bit hot, as I'm sure you are as well. But you smell wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for having me on. First time caller to your show. Listen to you a lot during the day. I had a few comments and was hoping to get your opinion on some things. I guess the one thing that you would, one of the many things you brought up today was, has Trump lost me? And in my case, Trump has definitely lost me. I was previously a Trump supporter, voted for Trump. And at this point, I can no longer support Trump. A lot of reasons for that, but
so when did this illness start?
When
did this start? I'm sorry, I'm being silly. When did you start saying
the illness or the recovery? But basically, it started shortly after he took office, and I think the tariffs were the first thing that got my attention. A couple of things about the tariffs. One is I think, it's a story being told by President Trump that it's, we're saving money. And he just doesn't want to acknowledge that a tariff is paid by the consumer. If a bottle of beverage comes into the port of New York and it costs $1, to the distributor that picks it up and then sells it to somebody, and now it's $1.30. That 30 cents makes its way, to me and comes out of my wallet. And I heard Donald Trump the other day mentioning how excited he was that he had collected, $400 billion in tariffs. And, that's great, but that $400 billion in tariffs, that's money that came out of my pocket and everybody else's pocket that, listens to your radio station.
Okay, so let me just give you the argument to that and get your thoughts on this. The argument to that is one of the reasons for the tariffs is to do basically exactly what you just said, so that the industries that are being tariffed before their goods can get into the United States relocate to the United States and establish decent paying factory jobs here in the United States as a long-term goal. Do you think that that is practical, or do you think that's just blowing smoke out of his nether regions?
I think it's totally impractical, and I don't know if Donald Trump actually knows that. I hope that he does. My personal experience with taxes, I worked for a importer and distributor since 2013. Working out of New Jersey, actually, was stationed away from, Buffalo and commuting. And we basically closed our doors. It took about 6 weeks, along with all of the other businesses and warehouses that surround the port of New York and New Jersey. All of those people are out of work. Our customers, our sub distributors, all of the people we did business with, small business, right? Everybody had maybe 25, 35 employees, but they're done, or they're running a skeleton staff, and it's all over. And it's, I guess it's discouraging because Donald Trump can tell Walmart to suck it up. But the bottom line is that, the global logistical chain here is, Walmart's one end user, but there are tens of thousands of people out, that support that product getting to Walmart. And those are the people that are out of business, laid off, working less hours, and paying the price. No one really wants.
There are some companies. There are some companies that have said that they are going to be doing more business within the United States. Among those companies would be Honda, Hyundai, and GE Appliances is going to move the manufacturing of washing machines from China to Kentucky. No mention of New York, by the way. But those are just a few of the companies. So in some cases, the president's strategy seems to have borne the fruit that he promised. In your case, I'm curious because you said at the beginning that you were a Trump supporter, but the president has lost you and it was tariffs that did it. But when you were a Trump supporter before the election and he was talking about tariffs and he was talking about the Department of External Revenue and maybe doing away with the IRS as we know it today, did you not understand that he was talking about tariffs?
No, well, just to finish answering your first question about relocating manufacturing to the United States. I think what may be missing from the equation, and I certainly understand and agree and acknowledge, there are companies that are onshoring their businesses. They're moving them from overseas, you know, to the United States, and that's a very good thing. And I'm very happy about that. But, you know, overall, the world is a very small place, and I don't think, my personal opinion is, you know, Donald Trump is somewhat misguided now, thinking he can reshape the world. And there are just certain facts that can't be changed. You know, as an example, if you're in Colombia and you're picking bananas for Chiquita and you're getting paid whatever, $4 a day, okay, you can't grow bananas in the U.S. and you can't pay somebody $4 a day. And the same would hold true if you're, you know, assembling some product could be assembled in the United States. You know, different economies are just that. They're different economies. We can't replicate Southeast Asia in the United States for the most part because it's a different economy, a different standard of living, and different valuation on the dollar. And, you know, just everything is very, very different, and you just can't do that. I don't know how they'll make Maytag dishwashers in the United States and, you know, be able to charge the same amount of money. But, you know, if we can do that, you know, that's really...
Well, you know, it's not only that, but they did a survey of major companies and corporations, and 90% of them supposedly said that they are interested in exploring reshoring to the United States. That's how they phrase it, reshoring. But to answer the second question, I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about that, because you said that you supported the president. President Trump has lost you. You cited tariffs as a reason. It affects your business and your life.
Among the reasons, and
I want to get into that a little bit more, if that's okay, and there's some other stuff as well. Sure. Has President Trump lost you? Maybe he never had you, but has he lost you? And there are some interesting developments in MAGA land because, hey, there are some people not very thrilled at the lack of any executive initiative on firearms rights, our Second Amendment in the United States. People upset that now the president seems to characterize folks like you who are interested in the Epstein files because you want to know, is there some worldwide conspiracy to disgustingly abuse children by the global elites? And you don't exactly like it when the president makes you feel like you're doing something wrong, or you're some kind of degenerate for wanting the files released. I don't want to know the details in the files. I just want to know who is involved and how big this operation was. And was it some kind of an intelligence operation designed to get blackmailable material on the world elites? I would like to know that. Not that we ever will, I suppose. And the Ukraine thing. You know, one minute Zelensky's in the White House being lectured, the next minute we're sending Patriot missiles. And MAGA land is very much against involvement in foreign wars. Remember the discussion we had during the bombing of Iran? Right after that, we had people calling in saying, hey, this is not what I voted for. This is not what I wanted. I didn't want to be involved in somebody else's situation. So don't go anywhere. 803-0930. Is President Trump all mouth and no MAGA, or little MAGA? Has he lost you in some way, shape, or form? Or are you still on board 100%? Maybe you've got some alternative explanations for the differing spins we've heard in various stories. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. How strong is the MAGA base? I mean, those midterms will be here before you know it. Let's get back to our call. Jerry in Amherst, who was a Trump supporter, but Donald Trump, president of the United States, has lost him. And the question was, you knew your thing is against the tariffs, and you knew what the president was for when he was running, and you still supported him. And I have to ask, why?
Well, you know, the reason why, I think, is, you know, the idea of the tariffs, you know, finish that topic was, you know, it's a great idea to equalize, you know, where we can. Any inequities that, you know, we've been enduring for all these years, you know, they should be changed, modified, renegotiated. But obviously, you know, that takes time, and that takes a lot of hard work and diligence. And it's part of, you know, what I'm starting to see and why, you know, Trump has lost me. It seems almost, you know, his discussion of tariffs almost seem random. You know, something on Monday is, you know, then changed on Friday. There just does not seem to be an actual, you know, plan here. And I'm just starting to see that in a lot of, you know, different areas. He brought up BRICS, for example. You know, he threatened anyone who is associated with BRICS would be subject to a 100% tariff. And my, you know, my immediate, like, thought on that was, so now the United States, instead of the dollar, you know, being the go-to currency in which international trade uses for business, because of the strength of the United States, because of the security of the United States, and how reliable the U.S. dollar is, you can always get paid. Now, you know, that's deteriorated, and apparently to the point where now Donald Trump is making random threats to anyone who wants to attend a BRICS meeting that they'll be tariffed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, shouldn't the United States be the leader just because of what we do, not because of what we, you know, threaten people with?
Yeah, all's fair in love and war and economics, sir. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And by the way, I mean, the whole petrodollar thing is interesting, too, because the Genius Act, they had a procedural vote. Those of you into crypto, the procedural vote did pass today after intensive lobbying by the president yesterday after it went down in the House of Representatives. So very, very soon, maybe tomorrow, there will be a full vote in both the House and the Senate on the so-called Genius Bill. And what that will do, it will give the crypto world some regulatory guidelines, some rails, if you will, off of which to run. And there are some digital assets which are believed to have been hindered in their rise of price because of unfair regulation targeting by the SEC. So if the Genius Act passes, there are going to be some very interesting developments in crypto. And there are some people who are saying, look, the dollar in itself, everything is going to be tokenized. Everything is going to be on a blockchain technology format, in particular with international payments. So I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just repeating things I've heard people say, but does it make me sound smart? Yeah. So anyway, that's the deal with that. We'll see what the petrodollar is, where that is in the not too distant future. And we'll keep our eyes on the Genius Bill as well. 803-0930. Has the president lost you with some of his flip-flops or lack of action on stuff? The Epstein files? What, you're a sick pervert if you want to know what's going on with that? Ukraine? Wait a minute. One minute, we are going to end the war overnight. Never would have started if I was in office. Next minute, I'm going to give Vlad 50 days. He talks nice, but then he bombs everybody. And firearms. I'm a Second Amendment president. I'm going to be the best friend the Second Amendment ever had. And there's no initiative whatsoever from the White House on gun rights in Democrat states. What's going on? Are we being lied to by President Trump? Is he full of crap? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. All right, welcome to the show. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So I presume that most of you, the majority of you, have been pro-Trump. I presume many of you are MAGA. And I'm just kind of curious, is the bloom wearing off the rose? Has the peony crumpled into those brown leaves at the base of the peony? We could use some more botanical examples, but I think I'll pass. Like with the Jeffrey Epstein case this morning, Trump on the president on Truth Social, their new scam, referring to left-wing Democrats, their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax, and my past supporters have bought into this BS, hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson and probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left for 8 long years. I've had more success in 6 months than perhaps any president in our country's history, and all these people want to talk about with strong prodding by the fake news and the success-starved Dems is the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about taking or talking of our incredible and unprecedented success, because I don't want their support anymore. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Make America great again. See, that's kind of a risky statement for the president to make. I don't know if he's aware of how many MAGA people are really concerned about the Epstein situation. Not that they want the gory, prurient, concupiscent sexual details of Jeffrey Epstein, but because they want to know if there's an elite worldwide ring of people who are trafficking children for sex. That's a big deal with a lot of people, okay? I'm sorry, but it really is. And it should be a big deal. And his own attorney general was talking about the files being on her desk. There was no poo-pooing of this back then. But if the matter is forever closed by the president, I guess that kind of goes against the whole idea, does it not, that, well, he just wants the credible information released. Maybe he stumbled across information that was planted by the Democrats to try to snare him in a knot of falsity. I don't know. There's the situation with Ukraine. There's a situation with a lack of any initiative by the president on Second Amendment issues. We talked with Frank Panasuk before from the 1791 Society. So I got to ask you guys, is the president losing you? And you know, this Epstein thing, that's kind of a big deal, because what he's saying is, he's basically telling a very large group of core supporters who thought that he was going to bring transparency and get us the truth on the Epstein child sex trafficking situation. He's basically saying, you're a bunch of lunatics. Not only that, you're traitors working with the left. And I'm sorry, he's wrong. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. Are you still MAGA, or is this guy starting to lose you a little bit? Because frankly, he's kind of all over the place and with some things. Erratic, maybe. Here's Neil in Forestville on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, sir. I wouldn't classify myself as MAGA. I'm pro not the Democrats running the checkbook, the military, or the border. So I guess every day that they're not in the seat is a day that we're winning. So I can kind of give Trump a pass, I guess, a little bit on this. You know, the child predator thing, I don't think there should be any excuse. Like, I wish they'd do it secretly, like the Israel did the little beeper thing. I'd like to see that happen for.
Well, that wasn't secret once it went off, and the operation after Munich wasn't exactly a secret after it succeeded, where the Black September planners of the 72 Olympic massacre were systematically picked off by Mossad. But your point is well taken on the border, because the border has been effectively closed, the southern border, I think, to our betterment, frankly. And I don't know anybody in my circle who is opposed to telling people that are illegally in the United States that they need to leave. They've overstayed their welcome and it's time to go home. And maybe you should self-deport. That is, I think, a win for the president. But, you know, when you look at your own political base, Neil, and you say, okay, you're working with Democrats now. You're basically washing the Democrats' laundry, and there must be something wrong with you for wanting to know about Epstein. That's kind of ballsy, because these are people who are very pro-Trump, very against the deep state.
Yeah, I would agree, too. I think maybe the Second Amendment issue might be tied up with these illegals that are in the country, because if you just open the floodgates and allow everything to happen in these liberal states, you're going to be, you know, basically weaponizing the wrong people. So I think that I wonder if that's not playing into why they're going to pause that, or just, I don't know. It just seems like every time there's a liberal with a gun, they're doing something stupid with it. So,
but when you, okay, but here's the thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead with what you were going to say. Then we'll discourse, shall we? After you finish what you were going to say.
I enjoy your interruptions.
No, they're quite rude and I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
It's just difficult with the time delay. You have to kind of pause and allow for a breath or something before you just carry on and such. And it's difficult when you're, you know, not a often caller.
Yeah, I know. But what else did you want to bring up?
We're not under the guise of them. You know, it feels like we get freedom from them. And I suppose the last 4 years, if they're looking at it the opposite way, they got freedom from us. And it's funny how they hand the gauntlet back and forth. And we praise their feet when we're in, when our side has the steering wheel, but, we're in despair when the other side, and then you have the media who's pulling us from one direction to another. It just seems like a big show. And I think that's what Panasek was really, you know, like, are they just jerking our chain? You know, are we really going to affect change? I mean, are we going to become a leader in the world and stop this, you know, shenanigans of spending millions of billions of trillions of dollars to blow each other up? You know, when we could spend that same money feeding each other, giving each other healthy, you know.
But, you know, I can understand what Frank was saying, because when he was running for office, President Trump sounded more pro-Second Amendment than the guy who invented Winchester or the guy who invented Glock. And now there's not even a single thing in the pipeline, Second Amendment-wise, from the Executive Office of the United States. And three Congress critters have written to the Attorney General recommending asking for relief for states like New York State and haven't even received a response from the Attorney General. I mean, that's got to be a source of concern. I mean, you can't run for president as the best friend the Second Amendment has ever had and then ignore people who want help in a very heavily blue state on what should be a federal issue under the Constitution.
Well, maybe the aliens copied him and he's been replaced.
No, give me a serious answer. Not a dodge.
I'm not really sure. Like I said, I guess I'm blindly following, so I guess that does make me a tad bit mad. But I'm having faith that the right person was saved by that bullet. He wasn't shot by it. You know, I'm giving him props here. It's only been the first, you know, few months of it. It's a shock that he's even in there. Honestly, you know.
At what point does your benefit of the doubt extended to President Trump become doubt? At what point does that benefit part go away?
Like I said in the beginning, I don't think it does go away. I think as long as they're not in charge, that other side for the last 4 years previous, you know, it feels like New York, you know, we're controlled by a bunch of idiots. You know, it seems like spoiled children that never spent a day in their life working for a living. You know, they don't know what it's like to not have enough food to pay the gas bill and then the electric bill, and then suddenly your car's broken. You know, these people have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, look, no big surprise. New York State is extremely dysfunctional, but the voters of New York State and the people who don't vote, who are sick of what's going on in New York State, obviously, we talked about this last week, but they bear a share of the blame as well. Neil of Forestville, thank you very much. I appreciate your call.
Have a good day, brother.
I shall, and I am. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Are you still pro-Donald Trump? Are you still MAGA? Or recent events, and I've cited three stories, have they caused you to perhaps reconsider your ebullient support for Donald J. Trump, President of the United States? Excuse me. Little frog in the throat. Maybe it's Canadian ash. I said ash. Kevin of Pendleton, hello.
Hello, Tom. I can tell you for a fact, look as though we have to sing that song, Guess It's Over, Call It a Day. I know there's two names that will not be on the Epstein list, whether they release it or not. And that's the two best governors in this entire country, Ron DeSantis and Virginia's Glenn Youngkin. They're definitely not on the list. Who have ears to hear and eyes to see, take it however you want. But you ain't going to hear Kevin from Pendleton saying yay or nay about, you know, specifically who's on there.
Well, without getting into governors of states, most of our audience is not familiar with anyway.
Governors of states, but what I'm saying, though, is that unfortunately my Republican brothers and sisters and the pseudo-conservatives are all going to denial, and I hear them saying nonsense about, well, you know, there's certain things we can't release because we could have the country in an uproar. Really? Hey, burn, baby, burn. America will always rise from the ashes.
Well, okay, but Kevin, I mean, okay, let's just backtrack. Is the president making a real mistake, and is he showing a lack of comprehension of a lot of his base when he basically has said in at least two or three separate days that if you have any interest in the Epstein file, there's something wrong with you. You must be sick. What kind of sick person would be interested in this? And then today on Truth saying that people who want the Epstein files released are carrying the water for the Democrats. By the way, that would include the Republican Speaker of the House.
Tom, who is this said that I could walk down on Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody, and they will still vote for me? Come on, we have the extremists on both sides of the fence. And the unfortunate thing is that, you know, when you lose independence and when you lose people with critical thinking, and I could add myself if I could, and yourself and others, right, who are open-minded and for truth, and not for party, but more for your country and your community, these are the individuals you're going to lose. And that's why a lot of people wouldn't come out and vote. and you're going to take it for granted that, well, they're going to vote for us again anyway. I'm sorry, man. I tell you, we are tittering on the coal, what do they call it right now, the cultural war right now. I'm sorry, man. I think it's just like a ticking time bomb. We're going to come to either a hot war or some states can say, hey, I don't need the rest of you, and move on. And by the way, if you're leaving New York, don't tell anybody where you're going, because everybody else who bought down New York State and other places is going to follow you and do the same thing over there. I'm sorry, Tom. I mean, I am so peeved about this. And you know what? There were children who were not just, you know, sexually and otherwise assaulted, but brutalized. And look, I'm sorry. No, this is wrong. This is totally wrong. Elon Musk, buddy, hey, take it from another naturalized American like yourself, man. Just do what you have to do and bring in a third party. Tom, who is it said that he who casts the ballot accomplishes little or nothing, but he who conks it accomplishes everything? Who did that saying came from?
I don't know, but maybe you can enlighten us.
Well, I'm not too sure. They said it might have been Khrushchev or some or one of the Soviet leaders.
I will answer you. I'm going to answer you with another Soviet-era quote. Show me the man, I'll tell you the crime. Lavrenti Beria.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate the call. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And, I mean, seriously, we're not that far from the midterms, and the statement on Truth today by the president about the people who want the Epstein files released, doing the work of the Democrats and basically being traitors and they're victims of a hoax. Well, where was that talk when they were voting for you? Where was that talk at the USA rallies? Where was the talk then? I mean, what changed? What changed? And why demonize people who want to make sure that they're wrong, that there really isn't some worldwide ring of global elites sexually trafficking children? That's kind of an important issue, don't you think? And why would you turn off a big section of your base by not being a little bit more, shall we say, gentle in telling them what you believe to be the truth? This is the same guy who told the president of Iran, the leaders of Iran, that you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And maybe he should listen to himself a little bit before he starts to criticize people of the MAGA movement. Just saying. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Man, I wish I'd have voted for Harris. Kidding. 803-0930. Is President Trump losing you with recent decisions and statements? Here's Joe Cheektowaga, WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How's it going, man?
Sir.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, Trump definitely lost me about a year ago. I kind of clocked this a little bit before everything even happened here, before he was even elected. And what really lost me last year was when he went on a podcast with David Sachs, who owns Rumble, the website. And he basically said he was going to, you know, staple green cards to diplomas. And that is a Democratic talking point all the way, has been through and through. A guy who made his bones on being somewhat of a nationalist, has no problem with H-1B visa Indian and Chinese people coming here taking our jobs in Silicon Valley. But beyond that, he lost me because he sold out to the mega donor class. 10 years ago, I supported Trump from basically the very beginning. 10 years ago, one of the ideas of Trumpism was that it was about true revolutionary change in Washington. It was about the upheaval of the deep state, of this shadow oligarchy that he always would talk about. And basically, he became exactly what he swore to destroy. He is no different now than any other GOP politician. I mean, this golden age that we supposedly have, he bombed Iran, total cover-up on the Epstein files. People are getting deported for criticizing Israel. No mass deportations, really, at all. I mean, we're talking 10,000, 15,000 a month. That's less than Obama. Amnesty for illegal farm workers. More weapons to Ukraine. $3 trillion added to the debt. More of these H-1B visas, like I said. Corporate tax cuts extended. How does this help the average person? It's obvious he's covering up a pedophile ring, exactly what he came in to swore to fight against. And it's obvious that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were Israeli operatives, and he's covering for the state of Israel because he took hundreds of millions of dollars from many Jewish mega donors, and he's covering for his crew. It's that simple. That's why he bombed Iran. It's why he's deporting people for criticizing
Israel.
So
do you think Epstein was involved with Mossad or CIA or both?
I think CIA and Mossad are basically 1A and 1B with one another, but it's clear that Jeffrey Epstein was funded by what was called the Mega Group. It was a Jewish philanthropist group of billionaires like Ronald Lauder, the Bronfman family, Charles Bronfman, Michael Steinhardt. You have Leslie Wexner, Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel, and not to mention Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, was a former Israeli Mossad operative. He's one of their all-star spies from the 20th century.
What was the goal? What was the goal of the operation? Was it getting blackmailable material?
100% through. And nowadays, you know, back during like the JFK years, they used to blackmail operatives with being homosexual, but being homosexual is not illegal anymore. So what's the thing that's still gross and taboo nowadays? It's children. It's underage. So they blackmail American politicians by bugging rooms. Jeffrey Epstein had dozens and dozens of tapes, videos. He recorded everything. He recorded everything. All these interactions of all the politicians that went to his island, that went to his Fifth State or his Fifth Avenue apartment or whatever, his estate there in New York City.
Mansion.
Yeah. They were all bugged. Everybody is basically blackmailed by this operation. And for him to cover this up is a complete betrayal of MAGA, and it's disgusting. And, I mean, I was nervous about the administration because Trump and Vance, unfortunately, them two together is a way to kind of trick conservative rubes to get back on the GOP plantation to support the government legitimacy again. And it was one of my biggest fears, and this is actually worse than I expected. The bombing of Iran and now this cover-up, it's totally insane.
And Joe, thank you very much, man. I got a break for news. I appreciate your call. Interesting thoughts, as always, from Joe. And frankly, not the first time I've heard the opinions he has expressed. 803-0930. So is the president of the United States doing a cover-up of the Epstein child sex trafficking ring? And by the way, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Epstein did in fact have intelligence connections. And I said earlier, look, I don't know that he's really dead. How could I know that? I know I've read he's dead, but maybe he really isn't. I mean, I don't know. I know that sounds really far out and wild, but in the witness protection program, sometimes they lie about somebody being dead, so the heat comes off of them. 803-0930 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Has the president lost you? Ukraine. Lack of action on Second Amendment issues. Calling people who are wanting the release of the Epstein files and information basically traitors for working for the Democrats. What's going on here? Your call's coming up. Some rain has touched the southern edge of Erie County from the south, and some nastiness over to Jamestown and Chautauqua Lake area today. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Has the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, lost you? Is he more mouth than MAGA? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We had Frank Panasek on with us earlier, very fervent Trump supporter. Not real happy, it seems, with many gun owners, with the lack of any executive initiative to protect the Second Amendment, in particular in states like New York, where there's a full-out war on the Second Amendment. The situation with Jeffrey Epstein. Last caller said, it's pretty obvious Trump is involved in the cover-up. And you read his Truth Social posting this morning. Many people who voted for President Trump thinking that the Epstein files might actually reveal a worldwide network of global elite pedophiles. Basically, he's calling that a conspiracy theory, and you're sick if you want to see that stuff, and basically nothing to see here, folks. That's not going to sit real well with part of the MAGA constituency and the Ukraine thing. Zelensky was lectured in the same room in which the announcement of the Patriot missiles was made. And the zigzag, the 180 turns, what's going on? Is the president losing you with inconsistency? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to, next caller would be Steve on WBEN in Amherst. Hello, Steve. It's your turn.
Okay, Tom. Let's look at the Ukraine. What happened in Ukraine? What did Russia do? You can tell me. Everyone knows. The Russians abandoned 400 nuclear weapons. They wanted out. They forced freedom off on the Ukrainian people. But Russia, they want the Ukraine back. They weren't satisfied with taking Crimea. They had to have more. Then not negotiate. Now you've got all these things going on the Ukrainians didn't ask for. Bill Clinton promised, America promised that no matter what happens, give up your nukes, we protect you. Why can't we keep our word? Let's look at everything that's going on. I mean, you could go almost anywhere.
Right, but we can't control what happens in Ukraine or Russia, but the president presumably can control what his policy is going to be. And just a few months ago, we were hearing all kinds of things about Ukraine is not really a free country. There hasn't really been elections in Ukraine. It's really a tyrannical nation. Zelensky is not really a legitimate president. And now suddenly we're going to turn around and give Patriot missiles to Ukraine? I don't get it.
I know Zelensky just didn't walk in and take the job.
When's the last time he had elections? I mean, they keep postponing elections. I'm repeating a lot of what was said by people who did not want the United States to have any involvement in Ukraine.
It's all nonsense. How can a country that's barely hanging on run a fair? A fair election. They don't even have money for voting machines.
Ukraine has been a very corrupt country for a very long time, and I'm one of those crazy people who thinks that the United States had bioweapons labs in Ukraine.
Then we shouldn't have signed the agreement to protect the Ukraine to begin with. And then you go to another thing. You look at what's going on. We had the strength of NATO. Trump did that. And by the way, if you start looking at the positive things, you look at what's going on in this country. Trillions and trillions of dollars, Tom, are coming into this country every week. Do you know what that's doing for people who invest in the stock market? I'm a dummy, but I went out and invested myself. Do you know what my dividends per day is because of Donald Trump?
I really don't care. It's none of my business. That falls in the none of my business category, so you can keep that to yourself. So you support the United States being involved in never-ending foreign wars as a supplier of death and destruction?
No, we should go in with some of our bunker busters and drop the bomb on Moscow and get it over with.
Now, that's intelligent thinking. That's very intelligent thinking. What do you think the Russians' response might be to such an incursion?
Well, that's too bad. We gave our word. If we don't protect Europe, then they're going to come next is Poland.
Well, thank you for reminding me that I'm not the craziest person in the area. I appreciate that. Yeah, let's just put a couple of bunker busters in Moscow. I'm pretty sure the Russians might retaliate in a way that might be, let's say, a little less than advantageous to us. Just saying. John, and I'm not calling the shots in Washington, by the way. That would be President Trump. He's calling the shots. And, you know, we got one story 6 months ago. We're getting another story today. So which is the truth? Quote est veritas. Here is John of Elma, I believe it is, on WBEN. Hello, John. You're on the air. There you go. Long last. Hello. You got to turn the radio down. Tanner, if we could take care of putting him back on hold and telling him the radio does actually have to come down, that would be awesome. Let's go to Alden, which did have some rain, I think, earlier today. Zach is on WBEN. Hello, sir.
How's it going, Tom?
I'm just bewildered.
I have to agree with what not the last caller said, but the one who was speaking before the break. You know, especially on the Jeffrey Epstein situation, you know, I think it's absolutely incredible that Donald Trump isn't releasing the files. Now, he knew, and all of his fan base or supporters, that's exactly what they wanted when he became president. We wanted the Epstein files to be released, and that's what his attorney general, Pam Bondi, said. She said the Jeffrey Epstein files, the MLK files, and the JFK files would be released. Now they're backtracking. They're saying there's no flight logs. There's nothing incriminating. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. This is absolutely insane. It's all connected, but they just don't want you to know that. Epstein wasn't just some random pedo. The guy was an intelligent asset tied straight back to the Mossad. You think it's a coincidence? Every American president kisses the wall. Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden. They all bow down and all roads lead back to Tel Aviv. Epstein's Island was simply just a blackmail factory. It was a honey trap set up to compromise U.S. politicians. And you don't get to be president without the blessing of Israel's deep state. You know, every single foreign policy decision controlled. Every war we fight, done for Israel. You wonder why we send billions to Israel while Americans starve. Because the American political class is owned, blackmailed, and operated through foreign interests. And the media, again.
Zach, what else do you have? What else do you have in your mind? Sorry, it's getting boring.
No, you're good. No, you're good.
No, I mean, look, I don't like Israel's influence in the United States. I don't like anybody's influence in the United States any more than anybody else. But, I understand what you're saying. I agree with some of it. I disagree with other things you're saying. Israel has a very strong presence in Washington. I know that. Very strong lobbying. I know that. And,
what do you disagree with, Tom? I'd love to hear. I mean,
I think your tone, largely it's your tone. It sounds a little like Jew baiting. Sounds a little anti-Semitic. I'm not going to lie.
I don't mean to come off like that. Let me address. I'm anti-Israel, not anti-Jew. I don't mean to sound anti-Semitic by any means. I think it's more, Netanyahu, Mossad, things like that, that are operating on levels that are just simply aren't legal. And again, I have nothing against
seriously, what intelligence agency, American, Israeli, German, English, which of them actually operates according to the rules? None of them do, because they're not accountable to the rules like everybody else. And that's just the way of the world. I mean, it's like, and I'm sorry, but I have to go here. But every government in the world, I've come to the conclusion, every government in the world is best looked at through the prism of organized crime. Every government in the world is corrupt in some way, shape, or form. And yes, every government in the world has its own murder incorporated called intelligence agencies who go out and do the wet work. And I know that sounds crazy to people. And frankly, that's fine. I really, I don't care. But I'm just saying. So getting back to the Epstein situation and sticking to the topic at hand, which really is President Trump deserting MAGA. You regard it as an act of betrayal to his base that the president is not going to release the Epstein files. But what I'll tell you what concerns me about that is the vehemence with which the president has gone after those of us who wanted more information on the Epstein files, because I would like to know if there really is a worldwide cabal of pedophile elites which preys on children. That's a big deal. We hear all the time about child sex trafficking in the United States. It's not a lie. It's not a fallacy. It's not a conspiracy theory. It really happens. And to say that people who voted for you, who want that information, are doing the work of the Democrats, or that they're somehow lewd and lascivious because they want the information, I think really does a disservice to the truth. And frankly, it does seem like a cover-up to me. I can't lie. And I was kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, thinking that maybe the Democrats had put some stuff in there that wasn't credible, that would be a trap for the president. But going back and reading what he wrote on Truth this morning, that's a pretty ballsy statement. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think he completely disowned us and what we believe in. That was, again, like I said, that was a major thing we wanted released. And for him to come out and say that we're traitors, or I forget exactly what he said, or we're siding with the Democrat Party, that's disgusting. Okay, we have been loyal to him since the start, everything we've run through, and this is something that he knew we wanted, and they lied to us. They lied straight up. They just released some of the footage from the jail that Jeffrey Epstein was being housed in, and if you watch the footage, it cut off at 11:59 and resumed at 12:01. Now, there's a minute of missing footage right there, and they tried to say this is raw footage. Well, the experts went in and they dug through the metadata of the video, and they found out that this was two separate clips pieced together over multiple times in Adobe video editing software. So they have straight up lied to the American people and said this was raw footage. Lawyers are coming out and saying this can't even be admissible in court because of the obvious editing of it. It's not raw footage. So right there, they have lied to the American people. And if this doesn't scream cover up, what does?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm very concerned about this. That is not the reason I voted for President Trump, but I know a lot of people who did vote for President Trump for whom this was a very big issue. The Epstein and child pedophile ring was a really big issue. And if people smell that something is not right, and you know what? I mean, I think that the president should have stuck with, we're just going to release credible information, which kind of implies that there might be some not credible information that was sneaked into the files, and didn't attack the people who want to see the Epstein files, or at least many of them, released and know the truth about the situation. If he didn't insult them, I think it would have been much better for the president. But now it's like he's insulted a very big part of his own base.
Yeah, and for him to call us on True Social this morning, for him to call us traitors or saying we're siding with the other side, that's absolutely disrespectful to the people who supported him since day one. And
now, there are going
to
be people,
Tom.
Zach, forgive my interruption. I apologize. But there are going to be people who are going to say, well, see, Zach, you were never really MAGA in the first place. Now, you were just a weak MAGA person, and you're going to desert MAGA and the president the first chance you get. What do you say to that?
Well, I stand on my morals. You know, I understand what I voted for, and Trump isn't performing to what I voted for. So I will stand on what I believe in, and that's bringing greatness to America. We want someone in office who does great, who has the American people behind them. And that's simply what not Trump is showing right now. He's just not showing it. So you can think I'm anti-MAGA. You can think I'm a liberal. You can think whatever you want. But I think on my principles.
No, I don't think anything. I mean, I don't label you. I don't think anything of you. I mean, what you are is like the other guy's stock returns. It's your business. I thank you very much. And I would stand on my morals, but that would predicate that I have any. So thank you very much. I appreciate the call. There's Zach calling in on WBEN. By the way, if you find my morals, call 1-888-MY-MORALS and let me know. All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. So tell me, is Donald Trump, the president of the United States, is he letting you down? Just some issues that have come up today. The firearms community is not very happy with a lack of any executive initiative on the Second Amendment, especially in states like New York, which seems to have declared war on firearms. The Jeffrey Epstein situation. Yesterday, the president had this to say when asked about it.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled?
I don't understand why they would be so interested. He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information has been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think really only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them give it. Anything that's credible, I would say let them have it.
Okay, credible information. I mean, to me, that's like, hey, you know what? Maybe the Democrats plant bombs in this file that they want me to step on, so I'm just going to release what I know to be true and what is definitely corroborated and credible. But then this morning on Truth Social, the president, as part of a post, said their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax, and my past supporters have bought into this BS. Hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson and probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left for 8 long years. I've had more success in 6 months than perhaps any president in our country's history, and all these people want to talk about with strong prodding by the fake news and the success-starved Dems is the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking of our incredible and unprecedented success, because I don't want their support anymore. Wow. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Make America great again. So if you're somebody who wanted the Epstein files released, or you wanted to know if there really is a cabal of elite globalists who are involved in the sex trafficking of children, you must be kind of a sick person, number one, and you're also carrying the water for the Democrats. And I'm sorry, but a lot of MAGA people, this was kind of a big deal to them. I mean, make America great again, yeah, but that movement comprises an awful lot of people who do believe there is a deep state and that nobody should know about the deep state better than the guy who dodged a bullet in Butler, Pennsylvania, and some legal stuff as well, Donald J. Trump, and the extent to which they tried to destroy this guy who came from nowhere, well, not nowhere exactly, but politically nowhere. So that's a pretty bold statement here. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And the Ukraine flip-flop. 6 months ago or so, it was, President Zelensky, you need to show your gratitude. Now it's, we're going to send more Patriot missiles to Ukraine. Now, you could make the argument that this is part of trying to get peace in Ukraine because you want to supply some defensive munitions against Putin's talking nice and then bombing everybody, try to mitigate the results of the Russian bombing. You could make that argument, I think, with maybe some success. But on the other hand, a lot of MAGA people do not want the United States involved in any way, shape, or form in somebody else's wars. They don't want boots on the ground, and they don't want America to be the supplier of death and damnation for other countries involved in conflict, whether it's defensive or offensive. Now, he didn't authorize Tomahawk cruise missiles to go to Ukraine, so there's that. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Next up is John in Elma. John, you are on. Hello.
Hi there, Tom. How are you today?
Hello, sir. Very well. Thank you.
Well, you know, I'll be very honest with you. I'm not all that concerned about the Epstein thing. However,
that's fine.
I'd like to see Trump do everything he could to crush, and I mean crush, the Russian economy. If that means flooding the world with oil so that the price bottoms out, and the only thing the Russians have to export is caviar, then do it. Crush their economy big time. That's what I'd like to see.
You might get your wish. You may get your wish in 50 days if Putin doesn't come to the table and seriously talk peace. Trump is talking about some heavy-duty tariffs against not only Russia, but all of the countries with which Russia trades.
I wouldn't really put tariffs on them. I just tell these countries, you're buying your oil from Russia, we'll sell it to you at half the price. There you go.
Well, when do we get our gasoline at half the price? Come on, you got to think about America first. But no, the tariffs, I mean, the goal would be to basically do exactly what you're suggesting, and that is to crush the Russian economy. If you put tariffs against Russia and every country with whom Russia trades, that would be a pretty severe economic blow. And it might
You know something else, too. All these Russian oligarchs, a lot of them have money in Western banks, about $300 billion. I would tell the Russian oligarchs, you better get rid of Putin, because if we're not, we're going to take that $300 billion and we're going to give it to Ukraine. And you guys are S out of luck. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's do that. Give all that money to the Ukraine. I'm sure the oligarchs would not care for that.
You know what, though? With no matter how much money a Russian oligarch has, the Russian oligarch still does not have access to Russia's secret police and intelligence apparatus. And they can make a Russian oligarch dead very easily and very quickly. So just being very, very wealthy does not ensure your safety in Russia. Never has.
I think if all of them unite and they want him out, he'll leave. I really do.
No, I
think they can get him out if they really want to get him out.
I wish I could agree with you on that. I wish I could go with you, but I don't think so. I think he has
Okay, but if you crush their economy to the point where people living in Moscow and St. Petersburg start feeling it really, really, really big, they're going to want him out too.
Well, sometimes, though, sir, the first response of a people that feels as though it is being wrongly oppressed is to by outsiders is to rally around the flag, rally around their leader. And look what happened to the Soviet Union in 1942. Stalin was a bastard. He was a murderous, cutthroat, villainous scumbag who'd killed millions of Soviet citizens. But when the Nazis came in, suddenly, even in the West, he became Uncle Joe, and people rallied around Stalin. And interestingly, to this day, you know that Stalin is the most popular Russian leader of all time, according to public opinion polls in Russia?
Well, they've taken down a lot of his statues because they know the thing. They know the horrendous crimes he committed.
They took down statues. They've taken down statues in the United States, and people are still popular. I mean, there's a difference between what is decreed and what the people think. And you can look it up online yourself if you don't believe me, that Stalin is the most respected, most revered leader in Russian history.
Well, if Russia cannot export its oil, it's in deep doo-doo, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, the risk of that, though, is you force the Russians into a desperate position, and you basically, you know, you could look at the Japanese oil embargo the FDR put in when Japan started to get very nasty in the Pacific. The response of Japan was not one of acquiescence. The response of Japan was, you know, we want our oil, so we're going to bomb Pearl Harbor because you put the oil embargo in. So hopefully that's not going to be the response of Russia. Because they've got nukes and Japan
did. I really don't think Putin keeps threatening to go nuclear. I think it's a big bluff.
Well, I hope you're right. I really do. But, you know, when people with nukes say things, they tend to command a little bit more attention than people with a BB gun.
Yeah, I know. We all know he's got them. So what? We've got them, too. He would be committing suicide. And I don't think Putin's going to commit suicide over the Ukraine. I really don't.
Well, I certainly hope not. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I mean, I guess the real issue is with the Russian economy collapsing or being severely impinged upon by any tariffs that the president put into place. If he doesn't come to the table in 50 days, would that be an existential threat for Russia? And any country with nukes, given an existential threat, is going to use them. Existential threat means we either use them or we die or we are no longer around and they're going to use them. Let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. On WBEN. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, Tom, I think if you want to criticize President Trump, I think a fair criticism is this. He's simply not ruthless enough. He's not. He doesn't think like Putin thinks. Putin, I don't care what you try to tell me, I'm here to tell you he's KGB in his heart, in his soul, and to his last dying breath, Putin will be KGB. And look at what President Trump's doing right now. He's letting that little thing, that little, I don't even know what to call, the mayor of Los Angeles, I don't even consider her to be human, but whatever you want to call her that. She's not a human being. You think he would, if I was the president, I would crush her immediately and I'd say to any, and this is what will happen to anybody else that criticizes me, gets in my way, gets on my bad side. I'm reading a book right now about William Tecumseh Sherman. Oh, my God.
Well,
you want to talk about a guy that was serious and he understood politics and he hated politics, but he understood whoever was the most brutal would win.
Sherman was a very interesting guy. He went through an emotional breakdown at the beginning of the Civil War. Grant had to talk him back into a command. And you're right about his being absolutely ruthless, going into Atlanta, shelling Atlanta the way he did, and then moving on to Savannah. And at one point, I mean, he was so ruthless that in an act that was much criticized by people, a bunch of freed slaves, well, a bunch of runaway slaves who'd gone to the Union lines, were trying to keep up with the Union lines by crossing a river, and Sherman cut the bridge, and a lot of slaves were killed by the pursuing Confederate cavalry or drowned in the river. So, yeah, he was definitely a ruthless individual, some might say without morals or principles or scruples, but he won.
He was a winner.
Yes, he was a winner, and history is written by the winners. That's correct.
And his march to the sea, his message was clear and concise, and this is what Trump, I love Trump. I voted for the guy three times, but he's not a student of history. If he was, he'd understand. When Sherman marched to the sea, his message to the Southerners were, this is the cost of your rebellion against Abraham Lincoln and the Union, and I will annihilate every last one of you if I have to.
Jim, I think, speaking of history, we're not in an actual civil war right now. I mean, you might say it's a cold civil war.
Who said that?
Well, I think there's a difference between strategies and what you can do when you're actually at war and what you can do to the mayor of Los Angeles. When was it declared? I didn't get the memo. When was this war declared? I didn't get the memo.
See, this is what I'm talking about. William Tecumseh Sherman never would have said that.
Okay. Jim, have a nice day. Have a wonderful evening.
All right,
evening.
Whatever.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we're not at war. I'm sorry, but was there a declaration that we're at war? Or was there, because I didn't get that. I'm sorry, but it's not right to compare strategies and techniques that you use when you are in a hot war with what a president has the power to do to a civil authority in peacetime. It's just two different things. I mean, hey, during the Civil War, Lincoln tore the Constitution to shreds. He was one of the most unconstitutional presidents in American history, and he justified it by hiding behind the idea that the United States was at war for its survival against some rebellious states. But I don't know. Do you see people marching with guns in the streets in formation? Because I don't. So I don't think it's a fair comparison what Trump should do now. And there's other ways to be ruthless. I don't know exactly what he meant by ruthless enough, but there are ways to project power without doing things like Lincoln did, like making people wear masks when they go to restaurants, things like that, making people be vaccinated before they go to a Bills game, whatever. The mayor of Los Angeles is a woman named Karen Bass, and I don't let's just pretend that it was a that it was a Democrat in the White House, would you support a Democrat president being ruthless against a Republican mayor? Where, of course, that wouldn't happen in Los Angeles or Buffalo, I'm sure. But no, you wouldn't. And, you know, you have certain principles that you have to operate on. And we have we have constitutional principles. We're supposed to have them anyway. But, you know, the whole thing with the William Tecumseh Sherman of the Civil War, when you read about what Sherman did in the South and his march to Savannah, I'm pretty sure that if the South had actually won the Civil War, it wouldn't have been Henry Wirz, the commandant of Andersonville prison camp for the Confederates hanging on a rope. Probably would have been somebody like William Tecumseh Sherman, who made Georgia howl. And what he and his troops did, if they weren't an early version of the Germans in World War II, I don't know what would have been, but they were horrible. They were absolutely horrible, and they ended up punishing a lot of people who probably were politically indifferent and actually did punish a lot of people who were secretly pro-union in Atlanta. A lot of the northern industrialist types had taken up residence in Atlanta prior to the Civil War, and they were secret unionists, but it didn't matter because Sherman gave the order for everybody to evacuate Atlanta, and these poor people had been bombed out of their homes, fired out of their homes, and basically were put on the roads with no place to go and very little to carry, no food, and it was really a terrible situation. And again, who wins the war determines who holds the war crimes trials, right? Anyway, it is coming up on 5:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN. A reminder for you, our schedule, which is rather new on WBEN, maybe you were out of town and you're back saying, hey, what's going on? Nothing really, just a little bit of a modification. We still have a new morning with Brian Mazurowski and Susan Rose every weekday from 5 until 9. 9 until 1 is David Bellavia. 1 until 3, it is Joe Beamer. And then along comes me to destroy things from 3 to 6 every weekday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you very much for all the calls today. Glad you found this stuff of interest. And this whole Epstein thing, I do find it very, very interesting that the Epstein has been linked, not officially, not confirmed, to intelligence agencies, and Maxwell's father, for a long time, well before Jeffrey Epstein became a household name, was linked to various intelligence agencies, including the KGB, MI6, Mossad, CIA. When's the last time anybody said, I think you are accused, I think you may have some connections to American intelligence or British intelligence? Or how come all these people just magically seem to develop these ties to intelligence communities? Nobody said that about you. Probably. 5:56, thanks to Tanner Saunders behind the glass, doing a magnificent job. Stay cool on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tom Puckett next with WBEN's Evening News.